Why do bad things happen to good people? It's a question that's frequently asked. It's a question that, in my experience at least, I think I've heard it as often from Christians as I have from opponents of Christianity. See, we look around us. We notice things in our world that we feel like they're inconsistencies. Where people don't get what they deserve. They try to live their lives in a certain way and bad things happen to them anyway. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem fair that bad things keep on happening to good people. Maybe when I ask that question, you think of particular instances in your life where something happened. And you maybe question, why me? Why is something so bad and difficult happening in my life? Or maybe you think of somebody that you know who's dealing with difficult times and you think, I know that's a good person. Why is something bad happening to them? And Scripture abounds with examples of good or bad things rather happening to good people. We read some of them already today. Job. Everybody knew that Job was a good person. Even God held up Job as an example of somebody who obeys His decrees. And yet Job suffered. Incredibly, in all sorts of ways. We heard in our gospel, in our sermon text, about Simon's mother-in-law who was sick with a fever. We have every reason to believe she was a good person. She raised her son, who became a faithful follower of Jesus. And after the fever was gone, after she was well, what did she do? She went right about serving others and helping the people who were there at her house. A good person to whom a bad thing had happened. Now, to really answer the question, to fully answer this question about why bad things happen to good people, we have to consider a wide range of biblical teachings. There are many factors that would help us to understand and to answer this question. And it's not necessarily the purpose of this sermon to go through all of those things, but we will touch on a few of them. For example, one part of the answer to why God allows bad things to happen in the lives of good people is that it provides opportunity. Bad things happen in the lives of others, and these bad things happening gives us the opportunity to help those people out, to show our love to them. We heard about bad things happening to people in today's gospel. Plenty of them, all sorts of them. And those bad things that were happening gave Jesus opportunities to show His love and to do the very things that He had come to earth to do. One of those things, first of all, we see that Jesus came to demonstrate His power. Our gospel, our sermon text this morning is taken from that very first chapter of Mark. And if you've been with us through these weeks, of the Epiphany season, these Sundays following that festival, you've heard a great deal from the first chapter of Mark. Pardon me. This first chapter of Mark deals with Jesus' early ministry, His early public ministry. We hear how after He was baptized by John, He gathered disciples, called them to follow Him, and as they followed Him, He preached and He taught, and He did what we find Him doing in that text today. He helps people. He did some amazing things. One of the things Jesus did was healing diseases. He healed Simon's mother-in-law from her fever. We spoke about that already. And after her, more and more people came to Jesus with various diseases, and he helped them too. And then there were other people who came who were possessed by demons, and one after another, over and over, Jesus helped them and cast the demons out, those demons that were affecting them. See, this is the power that Jesus demonstrated. He could command fevers and other diseases, and they listened to him. There's no modern medicine that can do what Jesus was doing for the people who were coming to him that day. And even demons who were exercising this dominating power over people in their lives, even they needed to listen to Jesus. He could command them not only to leave, but to leave and to keep silent. And they did exactly what he said. Now, our text, this lesson from Mark, doesn't really go into the why these things were happening. Why were so many people sick? Why were there so many people suffering from demon possession? Now, one of those questions we can probably relate to a little bit better than the other. We know about sickness. We know about illness. People get sick. We're in the middle of another one of these seasons where we're told that there's all sorts of flu cases. Maybe you've had the same experience that I have, that just about every day you hear about somebody else who's gotten sick. I know that classrooms at my kids' school have been kind of emptied out by all the different cases of illness along the way. That's the world we live in. People get sick. But why? We can trace the why all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and them falling into sin and them ruining by that sin all of God's creation. So things didn't behave the way that they were meant to, the way that they were supposed to. They were no longer in a perfect world. And so the world is full of things that attack us and hurt us and harm us, and that includes diseases. Again, this is nothing new. We just see specific examples of it at the time of Jesus in our sermon text. But what about those other cases? What about the other people with whom Jesus was dealing? We certainly don't hear every day about people being possessed by demons, do we? Fact, there are many people today who will question or even deny whether demons actually exist, whether demon possession is even a possibility. What they do is they assume that back in Jesus' day, people just weren't as smart as we are. They haven't made as many advances. They haven't learned as much about the things that we now know about mental health, about other things that might change a person's behavior. And so those people, they assumed that it was demon possession, when it was really something else that they were dealing with at the time. But the Bible's clear, isn't it? The devil and demons are real. And they have a real effect on us and on our world. And even though today it seems like the devil usually tries a different approach to disturbing you and disturbing me, At the time of Jesus, those demons were clearly active and were showing their power by possessing people. That is, until Jesus put a stop to it, until Jesus drove them out, until Jesus demonstrated that power. See, the power tells us something about Jesus. It reminds us that he is true God. He is all power. He is almighty. There's nothing in the whole entire universe, in the whole world, that doesn't bow to Jesus' will. See, he came to demonstrate that sort of power, to put it on display, to shine forth in just the way he truly is, that, that this is God on earth. He even commands diseases and demons and they listen to him. He opposes the work of the devil and Jesus wins. Jesus came to demonstrate power. And then, we're told, Jesus went to do something very different. After a night of healing all who had come to him, Jesus woke up early in the morning and he went by himself to find a quiet place. And there, all by himself, this is how alone he was. His disciples didn't even know where he was. And there he prayed. Jesus depended on prayer. Even though as true God, he controlled and commanded all things, Jesus had become a human being. He had hidden his power and glory so that he looked on the outside just like you and just like me. And he hid that power and glory so that only in little glimpses like these miracles did people see his true nature. And as a true human being, he prayed to his Father in heaven. He had this relationship, a relationship with his Heavenly Father that meant that he prayed to him regularly. And here it was at the early stages of his ministry, and Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven. You can imagine what he might have prayed for. He was asking God to bless the disciples he had called. He was asking God to bless those people he had met and he had healed. He asked his Father in heaven to bless all the work that he was doing and the work that he was about to do. See, Jesus came to earth to be a true human being, and as a true human being, he depended on prayer. And so what an amazing example that is for us. When we have busy days, when there's so much that we have to do, when there are so many things that weigh heavily on our minds, what do? Too often we say, well, I really need to work harder. I really need to plan more carefully. I need to figure out the solution, no matter how long it takes. What we really need to do is to pray. What we really need to do is to remember that we are sinful people in a sinful world, and we need to look to God, who is the only one who has the power to do everything that we need, and the only one who has the wisdom to do it in the best possible way. We need to depend on prayer, just like Jesus did. And as Jesus was praying, those disciples finally found him. And they told him, everybody is looking for you. There were more sick people to heal. There were more demons to drive out. That would be a constant. That would keep going in this sinful world, a world so corrupted by evil. Those opportunities would be there. But that wasn't the biggest need that Jesus came to help. He wasn't here just to help disease and demon possession. Yeah, he came to demonstrate power. He came to depend on prayer. But most of all, in his earthly ministry, Jesus had come to deliver preaching. And so he told his disciples, let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So that's exactly what Jesus and the disciples did. We read, so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So in some ways, Jesus was going to just keep on doing exactly as he had been. He was still going to preach and he was still going to drive out demons. But he would do it in so many other places around that whole region, in many nearby villages. Jesus wouldn't just stay put in one place and become their miracle worker. The guy they could come to with these physical needs. He wasn't just an answer to disease and demon possession. And so he would go around to preach that he was something more. And his miracles, his driving out demons, his healing people, these were meant to reinforce what Jesus was saying. To point to the truth that he is who he said he was. Even more important than dealing with these physical issues like disease and demon possession, Jesus had come to deal with the biggest issue of all. He came to deal with sin itself. And so Jesus' power against Satan would be put on display most clearly at the cross, where he attacked and defeated him once and for all. Jesus' love for his people would be most evident when he gave his very life for them. Jesus' obedience to the will of his heavenly Father would be on full display as he committed his spirit into his Father's hands. This is why Jesus came. To demonstrate power, to depend on prayer, and most of all, to deliver preaching so that many would know him as their Savior. So that you would know him as your Savior. Bad things happen. Bad things happen to good people, at least by the standards with which we judge each other. But it's good for us to keep in mind. The fact of the matter is that all of these things happen to sinful people who live in a sinful world. And Jesus came so that these things, the bad things that happen in this world, would be the worst of our problems. He came so that we would have a home in heaven to look forward to. One where there is no disease. One there where there is no suffering of any kind. And so Jesus meets us now in every and any circumstance. And he calls us to something better. He calls us to look at his power. He calls us to imitate his prayer. He calls us to trust his preaching. And he promises that he will use it all, even the bad things, to accomplish his good purposes for us, now and forever. Amen.